Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
Joseph is a person who says, God is the God who speaks. I want to make sure that I listen to what God says, and that I believe what God says, and that I act upon what God says. That is the foundation of Joseph's life. And here's the truth. Ministry for the Lord requires that we listen to God speak and believe what God says.
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Genesis 40. The message is entitled Faithful Service to God. And today we're going to be discussing much about how the resource of God's Word is such a special gift to our lives, that the Word of God is living and it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I've been sharing the gospel with a friend and encouraged him to read the Gospel of John. And just this morning he told to me, boy, it seems like the words that I'm reading pertain exactly to what's happening in my life. And I told him that's because it's the gift of God's Word being living and active, that God is actually speaking to us. We're going to learn about the dangers of looking to mystical experiences in order to understand the voice of God as well. And so let's open up our Bibles to Genesis 40 as we learn to appreciate more and more the gift of God's precious Word to us.
Here's the cupbearer and the baker, and they're in prison with Joseph. And the text tells us that one night, on the same night, they both have a dream. And in this dream, they're troubled. And so Joseph sees them, and he sees that they're really sad or discouraged or perplexed. And so he comes and says, "Why are your faces downcast today? What's up?" So he's been with them long enough to know what their normal morning face is, and this morning face is really different. And they said, "Well, we have had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph then says, "Well, don't the interpretation of dreams belong to God? Isn't God the one who's able?" Now, these guys are pagans. They don't know God, but Joseph, nonetheless, is teaching them about God. Undoubtedly taught them before, but now he's teaching them again. The God I serve has all dreams in his power and control. And so he says, "So tell them to me." He's offering to have ministry to them and with them. But he's offering to have ministry on the basis of the truth that God reveals himself and God reveals his purposes and plans, that God is a message, that God is a God who speaks, and he has a message for man to hear and for man to receive by faith. Now remember that Joseph lives at a time before the Holy Spirit wrote a book, the Bible. So he didn't have a Bible. In that day, God spoke to people in many different ways. One of those was through dreams. Joseph is a person who says, God is the God who speaks. I want to make sure that I listen to what God says, and that I believe what God says, and that I act upon what God says. That is the foundation of Joseph's life. And here's the truth. Ministry for the Lord requires that we listen to God speak and believe what God says. All true ministry begins and is rooted in God's revelation to man. In other words, we have nothing to bring to people if we don't have God's message. We have nothing of power. We have nothing that instills life. We can be kind. We can be loving. We can be nice. But people of the world are kind, loving, and nice. What is unique about our ministry to people around us, our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our family? What's unique is we believe God speaks and that God wants us to be his ambassadors of this message and to communicate the message of God to other folks after we've already believed it and acted upon it for ourselves. So here's Joseph. He's received God's message for himself already. He's believed it. He's acted upon it. Here's some men who need to hear God's message. And so God uses Joseph to convey that message to the baker and to the cupbearer. Do you wish to serve the Lord? You say, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe your heart says, yeah, because every believer wants to serve the Lord. That's one of the things that happens. Well, where do I begin? And there are literally countless ways you can serve the Lord. So where do I begin? And it can be kind of confusing. It can be paralyzing. I don't know where to begin. Here's where you begin. Take your Bible, open and say, God, I want to hear your message, and I want to believe everything in it, and I want to act upon everything you tell me. If you do that, guess what will happen soon? You will have a ministry to the Lord. You will. And so don't begin by taking a spiritual gift test. Don't begin by, you know, looking at all your options and crossing off the things you don't like and circling things you do. Begin by just simply saying, God, you're the God who speaks. I need to hear what you have to say. I'm going to believe everything you say, and I'm going to live by everything you say. And pretty soon you'll have a ministry, amazing ministry for the Lord. I love this part of the story. Verse 1 of 40 says, we've had dreams, there's no one to interpret them. He says, don't you understand that interpretations belong to God? So what Joseph is doing, he wants everyone to know that he's not the source of truth, that God is. And that he wants the cupbearer and the baker to know that he doesn't have some secret sauce to impart spiritual wealth to them. That God alone is the one who has all the treasures of grace, of mercy, of hope, and that we need to go to him. And that Joseph is just simply a person who's pointing them to him. He'll do this later with Pharaoh. If you look at Genesis 41, verses 14 through 16, Pharaoh calls Joseph in and says, here's what I've dreamed. I've heard that you can interpret dreams. And if there's ever a time when a person can say, yeah, I think I can interpret dreams. You know, I've had a few dreams of my own. I interpret these other two guys rightly. And it's important for me to make a good impression. But what does Joseph do? Instead of saying, pointing to himself, he says in verse 16 to Pharaoh, it is not me. I love that. Because ministry unto the Lord is God glorifying, not self exalting. It's not me. But he says, God, I'm confident in God. God's the one who speaks. When people seek after him with a true heart, he'll speak. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So our ability to minister for God depends upon our access to God's revelation, our listening to God's revelation, our believing in God's revelation, and our obeying God's revelation. So here's the question. How do we listen to the Lord? How do we listen? Joseph listened through dreams. How do we listen to the Lord? If you were willing to stay till 1, I would give a great message on this question. I have it written all there ready for you. I have a great concern, an overwhelming concern. There's a lot of concerns that a pastor would have for his own soul and the souls of those who are in his church family, but a great concern that Satan has moved the location of many people's listening to hear the voice of God from the place where he has established it, which is in Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, which the Spirit of God wrote, right? That is the place that God has for us to listen, and he's moved it to something else, to a mystical experience, to a dream, to a vision, to a word of prophecy that is detached from the place where God has set his message wonderfully, sufficiently, magnificently for us to focus upon his Son, to focus upon the Lord Jesus, and moved it to a source that only appeals to the flesh's sense of power, a power that's personal, detached from Jesus Christ, and places the location of our access to listen to the voice of God through some methods, through some technique, through some person who has some special way to hear the voice of God, and they're even offering to teach me how to listen to the voice of God. And those folks are super spiritual, and these folks who only have Jesus and the revelation that God has given through his word that the Holy Spirit wrote to incorporate it in a living book, those folks are living in a lower plane, and we can have a higher plane. And I'm telling you that God has established for us in such a clear way, a clear word, a word that's more sure than ever, that Joseph ever had. And to discard that is to discard Jesus Christ. It's to dislodge ourselves from Jesus. Test those spirits and see if Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not some Jesus that's manufactured in the heart and mind of a person, a Jesus that looks very much like the speaker, but the Jesus who is very strange because he thinks differently, he talks differently, acts differently than we would. A Jesus that is so clearly defined, the pages of Holy Scripture. And when we move away from Jesus being the Word who is revealed to us through the written Word, through the Holy Spirit, we're moving away from the revelation of God, and we're placed then in a place of incapacitated service. Incapacitated service. I wish we had more time to talk, but I just want to share a couple verses with you that you might meditate upon. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. You notice that? He says, long ago. This is the way it used to be. God spoke. He always speaks. At many times in many places, in many ways. So dreams and visions and direct conversations. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son fully, completely. He then presses into this because in the first century these mystical practices were also alluring, they were also tempting for first century Christians to move away from Christ and on to these mystical practices. And he wants us to know that when we move away from the Son and move to revelations that angels give us, we're moving away from the one person who holds everything in every way. And he says, his Son, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the power of his hand. He says, don't leave Christ as your access to hearing God's voice. He goes on to say, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God which we have access to, the Son of God. 2 Peter 1 says, Peter, again, is dealing with this very same thing, having access to God through mystical practices instead of through Jesus and the Word. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't follow just every tale that happened to say they spoke from God, but we were eyewitnesses of Jesus' majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. You catch that? He says, we had this experience where we had access to see Jesus. It was prior to the New Testament being established. And we saw Jesus. We heard this voice from heaven. It was great. Now, he knows his audience doesn't have that access, and maybe they're thinking, man, if we had that access to God's message, then we would be super spiritual. So here's what Peter says after describing his past experience. He says, but we, and he's including his readers now, but we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. You catch that? We have a more sure word than even the revelation that God gave to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will all do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in the dark place. Well, what is that word more fully confirmed? He says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, he's pointing back to Scripture, the work of the Holy Spirit in giving us a book that describes the message of God to man, provides the message of God to man. He says, no prophecy of God comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. That was not like the writers of sacred Scripture says, I want to write a message from God. God, give me a message so I can write it. No, what happened, he says, is that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is a divinely inspired supernatural product brought about by a supernatural process. Today, many Christians are moving away from the revelation of Jesus through the Word by His Spirit and moving on to mystical forms of revelation like dreams and visions and new prophetic words. And friends, and again, many of these who are moving in that direction, I have no doubt, are children of God, brothers and sisters. But friends, this is not an advance toward God. This is a dangerous retreat from Jesus, the fullness of God's revelation. So in order to be a minister of the gospel, we must be prepared, we must have revelation, and then there's assignments. And I'll quickly give these last three thoughts here. Assignments from God. Do you suppose it was a coincidence that the baker and the cupbearer happened to be in prison at the same time that Joseph, the one who knows the Lord and the Lord's with him and is able to reveal dreams, is in prison? No, of course not. Now, from a very human point, hey, there are a lot of people getting into prison every day, I'm sure. A lot of new people. And for Joseph and the baker and the cupbearer, at first it seems like, hey, it's just a normal day. We're meeting new people. You know, we have some bad things, but we're in this prison. But what's really happened behind the scenes? What's happened behind the scenes is that God is arranging assignments for his man, his person, to connect with people who need to hear the message. And he's doing it in an amazing way. And I say this because in your ministry, most of ministry happens through these heavenly appointments, these heavenly assignments that at first feel like just normal, everyday occurrences. In fact, from a human standpoint, we look, nothing really happened there. Because we don't see that God is behind those connections, but he is. That's the way God works. You know, I love preaching the word. It's a key, important part of the ministry that I have. I know every Sunday this is what my assignment is going to be, but most of my ministry doesn't happen that way. Most of my ministry happens when I'm just simply walking through life. I'm at a restaurant. Yesterday I was in an airport. I talked to the guy next to me, and he and his wife, and started a conversation. I started asking about the Lord. He's an evangelist. And so we started talking about the Lord. And I don't know why God had to sit by next to evangelists, but we prayed with him. And after I prayed, another person came up and says, hey, I heard you praying. And we had another little conversation. I don't know what God is doing. Sometimes spectacular things, like with this, it's a message of salvation. It's a message of judgment. But I do know that every day, what appears to be normal conversations, normal interactions, are really not normal. They're supernatural. And what I urge you to do, and you minister unto the Lord, if you're a Christian, you're a minister for Christ, then see every interaction as a potential that God is connecting you, God is bringing you together, and there's something that's eternally meaningful that God intends to do through that. It'll change your life as we begin to see life that way. Then, not just assignments, but boldness. Boldness. So let me ask you, if you were to deliver only one of these two messages, either the message that Joseph delivered to the cupbearer or the message that Joseph delivered to the baker, which would you choose to deliver? You thought about that? Man, I got to tell this guy that his dream means that 3 days from now he's going to be released from prison. Right now he's thinking he's stuck here for life. And I get to tell him 3 days from now, he is going to be set free from prison. That's a pretty, I'm sure that guy hugged him. And then he even said, hey, don't forget me. Oh, I'll never forget you. It's going to be so awesome. Of course, he forgot about Joseph. But how many of us would say, you know, I want to go tell the baker the message? Joseph didn't have a choice, did he? He told words of grace and glory, and he told words of wrath and condemnation. If you are a faithful minister of Jesus, you too will have to deliver both those messages. And if you say, I'll deliver the message to the cupbearer, but not to the baker, then you really can't be a minister of the Lord. And I know there's a sensitivity that we bring, and I imagine we're not told too much in the text, but I imagine there's a sensitivity that Joseph brought. It seemed like he knew the guy. It seemed like, hey, your face is downcast. That's how it all started. Can you tell me what's wrong? Like he had a sympathy toward him. And you tell him 3 days and your head's coming off. So a faithful minister of God doesn't tell the message that people want to hear always. In fact, sometimes we have to tell messages that people hate. Why would God have Joseph tell the baker? Why not just leave that quiet? Every time in Scripture, we're not told this, so I'm filling the blanks, but every time in Scripture where a message of condemnation is given, we're also told that God is a God of mercy and that he hears a heart that repents and that he listens and responds to hearts of repentance and mercy. And I believe this baker needed to hear a message that would draw him to the mercy of God. Remember the Ninevites, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. There wasn't any, hey, but if you repent. No, just 40 days, Nineveh will be. Jonah didn't want to deliver that message because he was thinking if they hear the message, they might repent. And if they repent, God's merciful and he's going to forgive them. And I don't want that. So I think there was an offer of mercy to this guy. We're not told the rest of the story, but that's always the purpose of bringing these hard truths. So what application? Pray that you'd be bold, especially in these days where you will receive much condemnation, canceling, hatred for the message of God's righteousness. And then pray for pastors, won't you? Pray for Christian leaders. Pray that we will be willing to preach the message of the cupbearer and the sermon of the baker as well. Lastly, reward and service. The cupbearer didn't remember Joseph. He forgot him. So two more years. But then chapter 41 unveils for us this amazing story of God's reward. Amazing story. What we want to end here on is that God's reward is so far greater than our wildest imagination. So Joseph could not have imagined early on what God is going to do. He believed that there was a reward. But the reward for Joseph was to be used as the person who rescued his family and then rescued ultimately the family that would become a nation, rescue ultimately the nation that would lead to the Messiah's birth, that would lead to the crucifixion, that would lead to resurrection, that would lead to the second coming, and that would lead to the eternal kingdom, the millennial kingdom. All that is part of Joseph's reward. He's part of it. He's right there, right? The fountainhead of all this. What a reward. As you serve the Lord, remember that God's reward is sure. Now, often it's delayed. For Joseph, it's delayed at least 2 years before he gets to ascend, get out of prison again. And reward is almost always delayed, but it's right for us to wait on the Lord with eager expectancy of his reward. That's part of the energy. That's part of the drive. That's part of the motivation that God keeps in front of us. So let us keep God's reward ever in view, especially in hard times when we don't see the joy of that reward. Knowing that God's reward is sure. Knowing that God's reward is sure. What's your life like right now? Is it still in fragments? Or perhaps it's not in fragments because you've tried to take the world's philosophy and you've tried to mend it together, and now you're reinterpreting your past and you're believing more about yourself and you're trying to manage your own brokenness and you feel like there's even some progress with that. You know what the gospel says is there's only one way to be whole, one way to be made new, and that's through Jesus Christ. And thank God that everyone who comes and receives him by faith is filled with the gold of God's grace, and all those cracks become mended, and this beautiful new soul is fashioned with a future and a hope. That is our Lord Jesus.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this message is a ministry of encouragement to you, especially if you are suffering right now, if you're experiencing some very painful trials, that this message would be an encouragement that God loves you, that God is with you, that God wants to speak words of comfort and encouragement and strength to you, that the Word of God is his resource whereby we can listen to what he has to say in order to find help and to find his mercy and to find his grace. We would love to offer you a free resource that has helped me in the midst of difficult trials. It's a resource by Jerry Bridges entitled Trusting God. It's a book that reminds us of the character of God and the nature of God in the midst of this ever-changing world and our ever-changing lives. And if this is a resource that you'd be interested to receive, please contact us on the website. We'd love to give it as a free gift to you. May God bless you today.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.